Hello, my name is Rich Jones. I'm a co-founder of U-Turn and the Chief Clinical Officer of U-Turn Health, and I'm also a co-host of this wonderful podcast.
And my name is Liz, and I'm a co-founder of U-Turn and a co-host of You Learn, You Turn.
And let's get the show on the road.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another week of You Learn, You Turn podcast. Today, we have Kelly Flagg and Aaron Craw. I love that Aaron's joining us again. And Kelly is a woman in construction. I don't know why we introduce him that way, but that's what she is. But I'm not going to read her bio. I'm going to let her introduce herself and tell us what she does.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me today. So a little bit about me. I am currently the executive director of the Associated General Contractors of Maine. So we represent all different types of construction and construction-related organizations throughout the state. So I guess technically I'm not in construction. I always have to say that, like I'm not a construction worker necessarily on the front lines, but I definitely have spent a good part of my career in the industry. So my background real quick, I fell into construction in a family business early on in my career, spent 10 years as part of the ownership team of a small family excavation and landscaping business, and then moved on to work for a much larger organization that did heavy industrial construction for another 5 or 6 years in a human resources and executive capacity. So I have been in and around construction in some capacity for a good part of my career.
Wow. It sounds, yeah. I mean, you've done it pretty much your whole career. So I know why you got into it. Why do you stay?
Why do I stay? Oh,
yes.
Well, you know, it's funny. So the reason I stayed originally the first 10 years is that, you know, my ex-husband now and I owned the company. So leaving wasn't really an option without blowing up my whole life. But that's a whole different thing. Why I stay now actually has a lot to do with my transition into the commercial construction world. When I moved from that sort of, we owned a company that had around 20 to 25 employees when I left. So we had grown it from nothing, had that sort of, I called it the sweet spot where we had enough employees to get things done, but not enough, you know, not enough revenue to really have the strong resources of a larger company. And when I made the transition to working in a larger organization, my eyes were really open to the amount of resources that were available to companies that were larger. And it really made me realize how little resources you have as a smaller organization when you're owner operated and you're in the field and you're, you know, you're really part of the team. When you're that sort of 15, 20, 25 people, you're in the trenches together in a very, very different way than when you're part of a larger company. And I remember the first day I went on a real large construction project and just thinking to myself, this is so cool. And I'm known for saying that, like, construction is cool. And I love the sounds, the sights, the activity, the idea of all of these things being put together in a place where most people don't ever see it, right? Like we might drive by a building being constructed and we see the fence around it or we see a crane, but you don't see the bits and pieces and the day-to-day like things being put together. And I kind of fell in love with that. And it surprised me, to be honest. You know, I took the job because it was a great job and it was a good fit for my experience, but then I kind of fell in love with the environment. And I just love being on a job site.
That's awesome. So mental health is a big buzzword these days, and everyone says their company's taking care of their employees. How do you see mental health in the construction world, and how do you feel like your employees and in general construction workers are dealing with things like depression, suicide, on the job as well as off the job? Have you seen more of a rise in people talking about it, people taking care of themselves, or maybe just the opposite, where it's getting worse and worse?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting thing to talk about. So, you know, when I talk about my time in that sort of more industrial commercial construction, to put a time frame around it or a frame of reference, that was 2011 through 2016 or 2017. And so we've come, what I will say is we've come a very long way since then. During my time, you know, back then I did experience employee suicide. Our organization did experience that. We did experience, I think construction companies still experience a lot of challenges with substance abuse and mental health. And but what I see now is I see companies really taking a step forward to help support their employees in a way that was different. I think back then, you know, these things happened and we knew they happened, but I think there was a bit of a, nobody really knew what to do or how to handle it. And I think that's still a reality. I think we still have a lot of growing room, but I think it's more common for us to talk about it now. You know, instead of, oh, how do we drug test everybody to keep drugs off a job site? Now we're talking about how do we get to know our people and support them before they're in a place of crisis. And so I think the conversations have shifted. And I think that's a really, really positive thing. I definitely see it across the state here in Maine. And, you know, we have Aaron here. We're working with Aaron and their team. And I think that that's a big step in the right direction.
Have you seen, I did too, I'm thrilled to hear that, but have you seen anyone like in particular coming into work and having a hard time, or you think they're struggling and actually raising their hand and saying, I need help? And if so, what happened after that? How did they get help? How did you see that process go?
So, I mean, I will caveat this by saying that my role here, you know, we're a nonprofit member driven organization. So my team personally is very small. But I will say even within my own team, we have seen that, by making services and making the conversation available. I think, it really does tell people that it's okay to ask for help. Where they might not if there wasn't something available. And so I'm going to rewind a little bit and talk about how we introduced U-Turn and the services or mental health support and coaching, which is, you know, we provided that and started talking about it without anyone asking for it. And I think by doing that and saying, listen, we know this is a hard time. We know we had a tragedy here in Maine. So that makes things a little bit more elevated. And people are talking about mental health more. And it's certainly not capitalizing on a tragedy, but it is using a door that was open, right? A door was open where people were talking about their challenges and their struggles and their mental health. And it was a great time for us to say, there are resources, here they are. And even if your challenges are unrelated to the things that are going on currently, there are ways we can support you. And the second we opened that door, the number of people that reached out and asked for help walking through it was really surprising to me. And I wasn't sure, right? I was like, we're going to offer this service and, you know, we're going to have, I actually had Aaron come up and talk to our members at an event. And I thought, even that to me, I'm like, I'm a little bit out in left field. I'm not sure how this is going to be received. And honestly, I think it was the best thing we possibly could have done for our industry and for our team members here in the state of Maine.
That's fantastic. That is wonderful. It sounds to me like you're going upstream, you're doing prevention rather than just waiting for, you know, for crisis to happen. And that it's not too late, but it kind of is too late, especially if it happens to someone in a suicide environment. I mean, a suicide issue, but I really, really think I commend you on having the foresight to do something preventative. Aaron, do you want to speak to anything there since you're the one who has been up there speaking to this group?
Absolutely. I think I'll just kind of highlight, I think what Kelly and your team, what you do in terms of just being really real about it, I feel like is so impactful. If we continue to kind of use you and the way that you're approaching it as a model, I feel like so many organizations are going to benefit from that. And what I really mean by that is the reality of it is there is a need for support, right? The need is there. And so just recognizing that and saying, hey, we see you. Here are some options. This is not the end all be all, but we just want to start the conversation so that you feel more comfortable having that conversation in the workplace. I feel like goes so far. And it's something that we're not seeing everyone doing just yet, right? It's more, yeah. We're still in that reactive kind of, or highlighting topics around certain like months, like suicide prevention month, then we talk about it. Or, you know, it's mental health awareness month, so we'll talk about it now. But then there's not a whole lot on like your regular Wednesday. And so I feel like what you're doing and that approach to saying like, we don't have all the answers yet, and we probably will never have every answer, but right. We see you and we hear you and we know that you want something. And so here's a place to start. I feel like goes such a long way. And it just speaks to the dedication to the wellness rather than it being that check the box approach that we unfortunately see quite a bit. Yeah. And Liz, I know you said, you know, it's becoming a buzzword. It's absolutely, unfortunately true. Mental health and the workplace and wellness and all these things are becoming just these words that are being thrown around, and you're really demonstrating in your approach that it has to be around the people and it has to be around what the need is. And so I think that just kudos to you and your team and everything that you do and the way that you're approaching that topic for sure.
Well, one of the things I think we've done that's a little unique was, you know, it was really important to me to remove all of the roadblocks. And so what I mean by removing the roadblocks is, you know, for companies, again, thinking about early in my career, being a smaller organization with not a lot of resources, there were certainly times where I knew employees needed something, but I didn't know what that something was. And without the, you know, I didn't have an EAP or I didn't have a fully developed wellness plan because we just didn't have the financial resources for those sort of things. And so, you know, part of this arrangement we have now is that if one of our member companies has an employee that needs support, all they have to do is call. All they have to do is call me. The first time they call me, I'm going to connect them immediately with resources. And then they can decide in the long term whether or not those resources are something that's right for their company. But that removes that initial barrier of having to have a sales conversation in the middle of a time of crisis or in the middle of a time of needing something. And for me, that was really important because it always feels like that's a potential barrier, right? It's potential. Like when someone needs support, they really need support now. Not 3 weeks from now or a month from now when we get our contract figured out. Like they need support kind of when the moment arises. And so it just seemed important to me to have that in place and to have that in place before the need.
And one thing that we're seeing is, and people are saying, it needs to come from the top down. Yeah. And that's exactly what you're showing. You're showing that you care enough as a leader and then have it trickle down to everyone else. And that is something that would reduce the stigma about stigma in the construction industry. And I'm not someone who has studied this, but I even know that what I've thought about construction workers my entire life and the whole industry is that they're the toughest, the bravest. If they get hurt, they just go back to work and they could have, you know, a hammer fall on their head and they're tough as nails. And the same with first responders. And it really is such a lie because they're human beings and they do have feelings. And if they get hurt, they have to take medicine. Sometimes they get addicted. Like what, besides us talking about it, is there anything that you feel like we could do as a whole to remove the stigma from these industries where you're supposed to be tough as nails all the time? Again, I think you're doing it already, but
yeah, I think it's going to take time for that to change. But I also think, you know, I think back to an experience I had, I want to say it was probably 2014, 2015, where we had an employee who just didn't show up one day. And we learned a couple days later that they had overdosed. And I traveled out to spend some time with the team that they worked with. And, You know, one of the things when I think about construction, I think there are some challenges when it comes to mental health that are very, very real. And we have to be willing to acknowledge them. I think a lot of times we want to pretend they don't exist. But the truth is, and this job site is a really good example of what happens in construction, specifically at the craft level. We had a small team of maybe 10 people, and they were working really in a really, really remote area. They were living in the only hotel in this very remote area, right? They were together pretty much 24/7 from Monday through Friday. They were disassociated from their family during that time because their families were all back here in Maine. And when I really started talking to the team about it, what I found was that the people on the job site recognized changes in each other. And when I talked to them, they all said, well, you know, we knew this individual was struggling. Then we saw this individual seeming to do better. Then we saw this individual struggle again. Then we saw them seem to do better. And they seemed to be at their highest point just before they fell and overdosed. And I said, you know, if you had this to do over again, what would you do differently? And I think that's the question that is really important, because a lot of our field level folks don't know what to do, right? They don't have professional training on how do you approach somebody that you know is addicted to a substance, or somebody who you know is struggling with mental health. The first thing that construction workers are going to tell you is that I'm not a mental health professional. I knew this was going on and I didn't know what to do. And so one thing is definitely talking about it all the way from top to bottom, like you said. But I think the other thing, and even more important thing, is giving our field level leaders tools, like real life tools.
I agree. Yeah. That is perfect, because then they become the experts. And that's exactly what we do here at U-Turn Health, peer support, because they're the ones that see what's going on every day. You can't have your eye on everybody all the time. So I think that's wonderful. You are doing everything right. I just have to say, like, we could have you across the United States in leadership position over construction. I think the tide would turn really fast. So thank you for all you're doing. And if you don't mind, we're going to switch a little bit gears to a little bit more about women in construction, just because people say, that's so strange and different. There's a woman in construction. And we really want to blow that stigma out that it's not just for men. And what advice, because I think really, at least from what I'm seeing on social media with Dirt World and other people talking about construction so much, and what would you say to a woman who was looking at construction and really thinking about that as a career? Do you have any advice that you would give?
Well, I think when we talk about women in construction, which you are all going to think is weird, it's actually one of my least favorite topics, because I think, you know, we're women, we're men, we happen to choose construction. I don't want to say it's not important, but I also feel like sometimes just our existence is enough. Like, it doesn't need to be a movement. But I am gonna dig into this for a minute, because there are some things when we talk about wellness and we talk about mental and emotional stress, there are some things that are different if you are a woman choosing construction. So when we talk about the work itself, I have no question that everybody is equally capable. But when we start to talk about choices and family life and priorities, you know, if I were kind of earlier on in my career and talking to my younger self, I think one of the things that I would encourage women considering construction to think about is what their priorities really are and what supports they have in place for that choice. So, you know, think about what I just said about the small crew that was away from home for 5 days at a time. You know, a woman may choose to do that, but they may also not choose to do that. And so making sure that you're choosing both a role and an organization that supports your whole self and your lifestyle priorities is really important. And, you know, that's coming from me, who actually took a break from construction from the time my son was 7 until he was in junior high. So I took a hiatus. I didn't leave construction altogether, but I did take a break from the industry for a period of time when my priorities didn't align with the requirements of what I wanted to do. And so, you know, when we start to talk about how do we get more women in construction, we have to talk about those things. And we have to talk about the how that affects women.
I agree. That's a great point. And I too believe that, yes, we're all just men and women and we all work the same and are capable of doing the same things. But I think you made a great point about priorities and just it's a lifestyle too. I mean, it's definitely not for everybody. Erin, do you have any last minute comments or any other questions that you'd like to ask Kelly?
An extension of that last comment you made, Kelly, about just the importance of choices. And I think when we look at the impact of work on mental health, one of the biggest factors is like autonomy and control and meaning and purpose and feeling all of these things from work. And that's what we look for in our work, no matter who we are, what our industry is. All of us want to feel some sense of purpose and some sense of connection to the work that we're doing. So if you wouldn't mind, just to kind of wrap up the conversation, I feel like it's kind of the perfect marriage of both these topic areas today. Yeah. How do you see the kind of next steps for the industry to be able to engage and recruit and retain our younger workforce? I'm a college professor, so you know I'm always thinking about this generation coming out into the workforce. How do you, from a wellness perspective and a taking care of your employees perspective, foresee where the industry might be able to succeed moving forward and engaging women, men, you know, whatever age, whatever generation to come into the construction industry? And correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that is a little bit of a struggle point right now, is how do we get people into that industry? So if you wouldn't mind, I think our listeners would love to hear that too.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're at a unique place in construction's history in the sense that, I think the expectation is shifting, and I think there's more flexibility than there used to be. And I mean that both at the individual level and at the organization level. As we look at the next generation of workforce, you know, the same can be said for the next generation of families, right? Families look differently now. If we look at 40 years ago or 50 years ago, the reason we had men in construction was we had the women at home. And now family life is changing and those roles are being shared more often. And I think that's naturally going to lead to, when we talk about priorities within a family discussion, who, you know, can I travel? Maybe I can travel more if my support at home is different. So I'm going to tie that into your question, which is this next generation of workforce. This next generation of workforce has a very different way of looking at work. And the idea of work-life balance and waiting until retirement to receive the other side of that work-life balance is different today than it used to be. If you think about our grandparents, you know, they were willing to work until they were, you know, exactly 63 and a half years old to then go play golf, right? Today's workforce is not the same. That mental health, work-life balance needs to be part of their lifestyle for the generation as a whole to be happy. And I'm making a very vast generalization. Obviously, individuals are individuals, but what we are seeing is needing to be more flexible. What can we do? Can we look at 4-day work weeks? Can we look at more time off versus higher pay? Can we look at, you know, what are the ways that we can engage this workforce and that we can give them something to be proud of and passionate about while still allowing them the flexibility to be healthy and be a whole person, right? And not have their job be their whole life. Because at the end of the day, this is a marathon. If I'm looking at hiring individuals who are just now graduating from high school or college, I want them to be happy, healthy, productive members of an organization for their entire career. I don't want them to have this rising star moment and then burn out 3 or 4 years later. And that is what we have to start to think about in construction is how do we do that? And how do we still get the work done, right? Because one of the things that's never going to change about construction is that you have to be at a place at a time, right? I'm not going to say you can't build things remotely because who knows with AI and all the things that are happening eventually, but there's, you have to have your hands on the project. Mm-hmm. And so you have to be physically present in construction. And that's different than some industries.
Sure.
So really thinking about where can we be flexible with people and how can we give people more of what they need from a mental health perspective and a balance perspective.
I think just even thinking those things through is a phenomenal step forward because we're not seeing that across industries. And so I feel like what a great kind of first step to just acknowledge those different factors. And I love your comment about that we have to look at things differently generation to generation. Even the family structure and the norms and the values are totally different. So just kudos. I think you're doing absolutely amazing work and it's going to become kind of the model for other, not only organizations, but industries across the board for sure.
Well, we're really excited to be doing this work. And I just think it's important work to be done, right? There are lots of things to be built in the future. And our industry deserves a happy, healthy, well-balanced workforce.
What a great place to stop. Thank you, Kelly. This has been wonderful. Keep doing the good work you're doing with your business and with Aaron and U-Turn Health. And we just appreciate you giving your time. I know it's very limited and you're a busy woman. So thank you so much. Bye, everyone.